take a side move here. We were with you a while back, and we started a little look at Leviticus. And we did an overview of Leviticus, and then we started to look at some of the offerings that are given in Leviticus. And there are basically five main offerings, and we dealt with one back then, and we're here today, and hopefully, Lord willing, we'll deal with two more. And then I'm back the last Sunday of this month, I believe, and we'll deal with the other two. So that's what we haven't planned, unless the Lord changes our minds, which is not unheard of. I have a lot of people try to change my mind sometimes. So we're going to look at one of the offerings in Leviticus, and we're going to find it in Leviticus chapter 4. We're going to start reading there. Now, I've been asked to stand over here because some people can't see me. My father was not a glassmaker, so here I am. Leviticus chapter 4, then. And we're going to deal with the sin offering this morning. The sin offering. And there's a few little keys that we pick up as we go through the sin offering. Okay. Leviticus chapter 4, starting at verse 1. The reading this morning will be fairly lengthy, but I don't apologize for that, because the Word of God is the thing that's going to be used to speak to each of us. Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul should sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them. Now we're going to pause there. We're going to make a few comments as we go through the reading. There's a key phrase as we go through this particular offering. And that's that phrase that we've already run into once now. And that is through ignorance. Through ignorance. This particular offering is for our sin nature. Next time I'm here, we will deal with the trespass offering, and that deals with our individual sins that we commit. Okay, but there's a difference. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are born with a sin nature. And so the sin offering deals with the sin nature. Okay? So that's why it is unique and different from the trespass offering, which deals with individual sins that are committed. All right, so having done that, keep an eye as we read for that phrase in this chapter, through ignorance. Verse 3, if the priest that is anointed to do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon this bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the tabernacle. Now, just a little picture here. Okay? we have the tabernacle, and around the outside of the tabernacle is what we call the court. All right? In the court are two pieces of furniture. Right inside the gate, there is the altar of burnt offering. Make a note of that. There's an altar of burnt offering. And then between that and the actual tabernacle is a laver. And those are the only two pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, in the court. Then you go into the tent of meeting. Sometimes it's called that. Sometimes it's called the tabernacle. But in there is another altar. And we will notice how we touch on it through the sin offering. Okay? So there are two different altars. One's called the altar of burnt offering or the brazen altar. That's in the courtyard. And the other one is the altar of incense. Sometimes it's called the altar of sweet incense, which is in the tabernacle itself, right before the veil, which separates from the holy place and the holy of holies. Okay? Got you confused yet? We're working on it. All right? So, carrying on here. Verse 7. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord. So that's the altar that's inside the tabernacle itself. Okay? So he's going to put some blood. He sprinkles 7 times blood in front of the veil. And then right in front of that veil is the altar of sweet incense or the altar of incense. And so he puts blood on the horns of that altar. Okay, that was verse 7. We got down about halfway through. Which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering. Where's that? It's in the courtyard, right? Okay, glad you got that. I didn't hear a thing, but that's okay. I probably need hearing aids. All right? So, he puts blood on the altar that's inside, and then he pours the rest of the blood out at the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So that's right at the entrance to the courtyard. Verse 8. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver. That's sort of a lump that's above the liver. With the kidneys, it shall he take away, as it was taken off of the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. Now you'll notice, and you'll pick up as we go through here, the peace offering is mentioned a few times, and we'll refer to that in a moment. Okay, which is what we're going to... That's the other one we'll deal with next time I'm here. Verse 11. And the skin of the bullock and all his flesh with his head and with his legs and his inwards and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. There where the ashes are poured out shall he be burned. All right. Now we're going into another category. Okay, verse 13. And if the whole congregation, okay, so we've dealt now with the priest, if the priest sins, Now we're going down to if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, there's that key phrase, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. So again, that's inside the tabernacle. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation. So that's the altar of incense. And shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Okay? So very similar process between the priest and if the whole congregation sin. All right? And he shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar, and he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock of the sin for the sin offering. So shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. So basically, the procedure is the same. All right. Now we get to the next category. Verse 22. When a ruler hath sinned and done whatever through ignorance, so there's the key again, against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if he sin wherein he hath sinned, come to his knowledge, and he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. So now we have a different offering. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering. Where's that? Courtyard, right? Good. All right, so this is a different altar that this blood is being put on the horns with. So this is totally different. All right. And shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offering. Okay, so there's that phrase again. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people, so now we got the fourth category. If any one of the common people sin through ignorance, so there's the same phrase, while he doth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and he shall be guilty, or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a female, okay, without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering. So that's in the courtyard. And shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sin, off the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they killed the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. That would be the altar of burnt offering again. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Now, just pausing before going on into the next chapter, because the next chapter still deals with this offering. You'll notice the connection and the constant referral to the peace offering. When we accept the sin offering, the reason there's a connection with the peace offering is because accepting the sin offering is accepting what Christ did on the cross for us as sinners. Okay? When we accept that, there's a connection with the peace offering because it brings us peace with God. Okay? So that's why there's a connection there. The connection between the sin offering and bringing us peace with God. Next chapter, verse 1. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, that's really taking an oath, and you'll notice that as we go on through, and is a witness whether he has seen it, has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or a carcass of unclean cattle or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, and he also shall be unclean and guilty, or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, and when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Okay, so that gives us some things that they could be guilty of and therefore have to bring a sin offering. But again, you'll notice it talks about the same idea as what was in the last chapter. It wasn't necessarily through ignorance, but they didn't know it. So basically the same thing, okay? All right, verse 4. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him. So that's why the swearing is making an oath. He's going to do something. He's going to commit himself to do something. All right? When he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering. Actually, that should read sin offering. And you'll notice that in the latter part of the verse. He shall bring his sin offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a goat of the flock, of the goats, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. Okay, so there's the clarification that it really should be sin offering in the first place. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head of the from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. In other words, not take it totally off. Verse 9, and he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. So that's the altar of burnt offering in both cases there. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin, which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar according to the offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he has sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest's as a meat offering. Okay, now we're going to go over to chapter 6 and verse 24. Told you it was a long reading. Okay, but then we'll try and pull things together so we can see what is really being presented here. Leviticus 6 and 24, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. So he's going back, and he's going to deal again with the sin offering here. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offereth it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. And when there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon a garment, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place. But the earthen vessel wherein it was soddened or soaked shall be broken. And if it be soddened in a brazen pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. God is emphasizing the holiness of it. Okay? All the males among the priests shall eat thereof. It is most holy. And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation, so that's the first two categories, or to reconcile with all in the holy place, shall be eaten. It shall be burned in the fire. So there's a distinction between those. And then I'm just going to read one verse which you're mostly familiar with, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that's Christ knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Father, speak to us and help us in understanding the sin offering and help us to apply what we need to ourselves, we ask, in our Savior's name. Jania Obel from British Columbia. I don't think I'd want to have a name like that, but anyway. She mentioned our 7-year-old daughter had just won $2 for her memory work in Sunday school. After the morning service, the pastor's wife congratulated her. Our daughter proudly announced, "And I put it all in this morning's offering." "Oh, my, how wonderful," the pastor's wife exclaimed. "I'm sure God will be pleased." "Yes," the child replied, "now maybe God will let me do some of the things I want to do." Now, the thing is, I bring that up because sometimes that's our attitude, isn't it? We do things for the Lord and we think that, okay, the Lord's got his part, that's looked after, so now I can do what I want. Some of these Israelites would feel that way about the sin offering. They've done what the Lord has asked them to do, and then they feel they can go out and do whatever they want. And the problem is, some of us feel the same way. We come, we realize that we're sinners, and I trust that each one of us here has realized that you are a sinner, because all of us are sinned, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, and the sin offering was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He died, he bore your sin and mine. And some of us get the idea that we can come and accept him as our Savior, and now everything's fine, we can do what we want. But you know what? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. He expects us to obey him. You see, coming to know Christ as Savior is more than just a fire escape. It's more than just getting us out of going to hell. It does that, but it's a commitment to live for him. And we need to realize that. It's not just one of these things where, okay, everything's going to go my way now, or, you know, an easy salvationism, which oftentimes is preached in many situations. It is a commitment. And we see these things in the offerings. Now, the first thing we want to look at then, if I can get this going. Okay, I'm writing on it. Something's happening, but it's not going. Okay, always away. There we are. The offerings. We're going to look at the offerings. And the first offering was a bullock. The priest brought a bullock, and the congregation, if they sinned, they brought a bullock. Now, we notice that if we look at it, what did a bullock do? It did the farm work, right? It's like the horses with the Mennonites today. It does the farm work. The bullock was a servant, and it reminds us of Christ being the servant. We go to Philippians 2, 7 and 8, and we read there, but made himself of no reputation, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, when he went to the cross, he went as a servant. God the Father told him to do that. And he did it. He was obedient unto death. He was an obedient servant. And so the bullock gives us the picture of Christ as the servant. The next offering was a male goat. Now, the male goat was interesting because when we go to the Day of Atonement, there were two goats involved. The one goat, they cast lots, and whichever one won was called the scapegoat. Okay? And the scapegoat, they confessed the sins of the nation over the scapegoat, and then someone took it out into the wilderness and let it go. Where it went from there, nobody knows. They never saw it again. Okay? It pictures the fact that when Christ died for us, because the other goat was slaughtered, that sounds kind of cruel, but it is a good picture. It's a picture of what happened to Christ. He was slaughtered. He really was. And so that goat was slaughtered in order for the blood to be shed to take away our sin. But the other goat was a picture that he went out and was never seen again. Because when Christ deals with our sin through the sin offering, we never have to look at it again. We're free of it. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sin from us. Buried in the deepest sea. It's gone. And so this goat, this male goat, pictures Christ. Christ was made sin for us. He was made sin for us. He was the sin offering. Hebrews 9:28 tells us about that. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And there are many other verses, and time won't allow us to go through some of those. Hebrews 10:10 to 12, 1 Peter 2:24, and so on. We could talk about those. But Christ was our sin offering. And the male goat reminds us of that. He was the one to take away our sin. The third offering that we read about was the goat or the lamb, which was a female. Why would they use a female? Well, there is a significant picture there. You remember what happened? Adam was created. God took a rib from Adam's hide, not from his head to be over him, not from his feet to be walked on, but from his side. And she was to be a helpmeet. But she was not to take control. She was to be submissive to him. We find that when we get into the New Testament, and God talks about the husband-wife relationship in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives. How much? As much as Christ loved the church. Men, do you love your wives enough? Ooh, that's a staggering question, isn't it? We don't, oftentimes. We need to love our wives as much as Christ loved the church. How much was that? He died for us. He protects us. He looks after us. He supplies all our needs. Tremendous love. But what does it say about the wife? That she's to be submissive. Oh, that's difficult too. But you know what, men? If we do our part, it's not quite so hard for the women to do their part. Right? So it's up to us to start the ball rolling. Now, so the wife was to be submissive. Christ came and he was submissive. He submitted to the Father's will. You remember in the Garden of Eden, or not the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. He was submissive. He didn't really, knowing what was ahead of him, he didn't really want to go through it because of what he was going to experience. But he knew it was the only way. And he obeyed his Father in doing it. And so you find the offering of the goat or the lamb, which was a female, reminding us of Christ's submission to his Father and the fact that we need to be submissive. And then, battery must be getting low or something. The next one was two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Okay. Well, you say, what does that remind us of? Well, these are birds and they fly, right? They're in the air. And so it reminds us of there we are. It reminds us of Christ is the Son of God. You know, that one that came and died on the cross was none other than God himself, dying for you and for me as a sin offering. The Son of God. I didn't realize you can only see part of this, but anyway, you get the gist of it. All right? And so he came that way. Isn't it interesting? This was a poor person's gift or sin offering. And all the way through it was. It's intriguing that when Christ was born and he was brought to the temple, what did they bring? They brought this one. They brought this one. Because they couldn't afford any more. See, the wise men hadn't come yet with their gifts of gold. Okay? He humbled himself. And then we find the last one, which is the 1/10th part of fine flour. And that's intriguing because there's no blood there. But when we think of how that fine flour was gotten, how do we get the flour? We take the kernels and we crush them, don't we? We grind them. Isn't that what happened to our Lord when he died? We read that in Isaiah 53. And I got it in my notes here somewhere. There it is, Isaiah 53. No, that's not the one. Anyway, New American Standard says that, well, the Authorized says he was bruised for our iniquities. The New American Standard translates that he was crushed for our iniquities. God crushed him. Think of it. This holy, pure person taking the weight of every person that has ever lived or will ever live in this world, all their sin on his pure body. That in itself had to be crushing as he did that. And so he bore our sin. Something wrong with that clock. It got ahead of me. Okay, I'm going to have to really rush through the next so that we don't keep you here too late. All right. The last thing that came on was Christ. The pureness of the flower reminds us of his life. It was fine. It was no lumps in it. Okay? The pureness of his life. Well, looking very quickly at the offerers, the first one was the priest. And the priest brought the bullock. Why? Because of he had a great responsibility. He had a great responsibility. He knew the law as a priest. He knew what should be done. He knew how he should live. And so he had a great responsibility to live accordingly. The congregation, again, they brought a bullock. Why? Because of the responsibility that the congregation had. As we come as a local church, we get together. We have a responsibility. You will notice the leaders of the congregation were involved in that particular offering. And so there was a great responsibility, and so therefore there was a bullock involved. The leaders themselves, they now had to bring, they didn't bring a bullock. They brought a male goat. Probably more expensive than a female goat, but they brought a male goat. All right? And that was their responsibility. They didn't have any choice. That was what they had to bring. Why? Because their responsibility was there as a leader. It was less than the other two categories, but it was still a responsibility there. And then there was the individual or the common person. And they had a number of different, they could bring as much as they could afford. Now remember, when we talk about silver in the tabernacle, silver represents redemption. Everyone had to pay the same. Didn't matter how much they had or didn't have. They all paid the same. Why? Salvation cost the same to all of us. It's free for us. It cost God his son. But in regards to our sin nature, there's a respect according to how much we can really afford. And so we discover that we are going to be judged based on what we know of the scriptures and so on. And so there's that to think about. And finally, there's the order. All right. In regards to the priests and the congregation, we notice that it was a bullock without blemish. Because Christ, it represented Christ, and Christ was perfect. Okay. Then we see the bearing. What happened? They had to put their hands on the head of the bullock and confess their sin. It's not weakness, or it's not just, you know, general. They had to confess. Why? Because God is interested in making sure that we hate our sin. We realize it's sin. He hates it. He wants us. But the bearing is when they put their hands on it, they were saying, what's going to happen to this animal I deserve? It's going to be slaughtered. I deserve that. But this animal is taking my sin and paying for it. And so that's why they had to put their hand on the animal. Then, that was because of substitution. Okay. And then they slew it. Then there was the blood. Okay. Sprinkled before the veil. That's as close as they could get to God. And it was sprinkled 7 times. That was the perfect, indicating 7 is the number of perfection, reminding us of perfection there. And it takes 7 times to convince us too. And then it was put on the horns of the altar of incense. Okay. And that represents prayer, by the way, and so communication with God and fellowship with God. And so it's only as that blood is shed of the sin offering that the communication with God can be brought back. Then the remainder was poured out at the base of the altar of burnt offering. And that reminds us that Christ poured out his blood on the cross. Then the fat. Okay, fat speaks of energy. Some of us are fat and we don't think we got much energy. But anyway, the fat speaks of natural energy. The inwards, the kidneys. We think of the heart when we think of affections. In Israel, when they think of affections, they think of the kidneys. Okay, we need to think like they think in that regard. So the affections, all these things were given over to God. That's why it was burned. The fat is the Lord's. He took it was offered to him. That's the picture that's there. Okay? And then the rest of it was brought outside the camp and burned. Reminding us, by the way, that Christ was crucified outside the camp. Okay? That's one reason why, I'm sorry if anybody objects to this, but it's one reason why I don't believe that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is where Christ was crucified, because that's right inside the city of David's walls. So I don't think that could be it. So I think Gordon's Calvary is probably more accurate. Now that's a personal opinion. Okay? But based on the fact that Christ was crucified outside the camp, as Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 11 to 13 tells us that. That's why I believe that that was so. And then the ashes were, okay, the ashes were put in a clean place, reminding us of the fact that Christ was in a clean place. He had a new grave. Never man lived and had the grave before him. As far as the leader and the individuals, we could say the same thing, and I'm not going to flip over on that. I'm just going to quickly say it was blemishless. The bearing was the same. The blood was on the horns of the burnt offering and sprinkled on the side, in the case of the altar, of the birds rather. And then it was poured out Okay, and then the burned fat and was the same, and then the bit. Then, but on top of that, there was a bit for the priest who basically did the work. And so, those of us who are picturing the fact that those of us who lead others to Christ benefit from leading them to Christ. Okay, sorry to rush that. I've gone way over. I'm sorry about that. We won't sing as a result, right? Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, help us here to realize that we need a sin offering. If there's someone here who has never accepted Christ as Savior, help them to realize that He is the sin offering and they need to accept Him and thank Him for what He's done. And help us to honor You by living for You in our lives here. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.